Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you
doing? Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate.
War is not the answer.
For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me. So you can see, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Oh, right now.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. What's going on? Look at the world around you and ask yourself, what's going on? This is a question that Marvin Gaye asked. Oh, my God. I think it was back in the 70s. And he was talking about the same things we're thinking about today, but he was so profound. And, well, let's just talk about Marvin Gaye a little bit. Hatter, welcome, Hatter. What do you think?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye, the classic, iconic song. It's basically about Marvin Gaye's brother coming back from Vietnam and telling him the horrors and inhumanity to man that he has witnessed in Vietnam. So he wrote this song. Some of the lyrics, I think, are prevalent. And I'm here and I'm feeling like a little peculiar. So I wake up in the morning and I step outside. I take a deep breath and I get real high. I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
Oh, my God. Four Non Blondes. That's an awesome reference. I love Four Non Blondes. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, you could, you know, you could take music so many directions, and each generation of music feeds off the previous ones. And I think you touched on a really important note there, that they picked right up where Marvin Gaye left off with that message. That's fantastic. So,
yeah.
I think that Marvin Gaye first arrived on the scene in the maybe late 60s, early 70s. I'm not sure. I'm not going to sit here and try to quote.
Yeah.
But he was
66,
very
maybe.
Popular. And he had a little, I'm not going to say a thing, because who knows what happened between these two. But Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell were a legacy. They were a legacy together. I mean, you know, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. They were a truly adored and worshipped couple in the music scene. Mostly in Motown, but, you know, some of us picked up on that. Some of us that weren't involved in the Motown scene, but we got involved because how could you not, right? How could you not get involved in every voice that was happening in this country during those times? And it was crucial. It was important to listen to all the words that were being said and all the songs that were being sung and all the people that had a message to share with us. So
yeah.
I understand, Hatter, that you have a bit of grave news for us today.
Yeah, just to hit back to carry on, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell were a classic duo that sang a lot of the Motown songs. The influence of David Ruffin from The Temptations was
a bad influence.
And she was abused. I'm sorry to say it. She was abused and had injuries that required surgery because of some of the abuse. And she died of a brain tumor resulting from one of the surgeries that she said she needed. They try to hide it as much as possible, but if you go deep enough, you'll find, and I'm a Temptations fan, but David Ruffin was not a good influence for either the band, Temptations or people around him, and it was all drugs. But on the today note, another sad note: we lost Dusty Hill from ZZ Top, the bass player.
Yeah,
what a
tremendous loss for the music world. I mean, my God, can you get much more iconic than Dusty Hill? ZZ Top, Tres Hombres, three guys. Once again, proving like. So many other groups like Rush proved that you don't need more than a three-piece band to really kick butt in the rock and roll world, do you?
Grand Funk Railroad.
Grand Funk Railroad, yes.
Cream.
Oh my God.
Cream was the first super band. Supposedly the first super band was Cream, three men, Dusty Baker,
Eric Clapton, and Rick Gratch.
Blair.
Rick Gretsch.
Did
I lose you?
Yeah, and then we had the other crowd. Until they picked up Craig Frost and did a American band, Grand Funk Railroad was a three-man power band with Mel Shaffer, Mark Farner, and Tom Brewer.
Yeah, I really like Grand Funk's early stuff, like the Railroad album, you know, the Red, what everybody calls the Red album.
Oh yeah,
that was
Inside.
That was their early,
yeah.
That was their early crunch sound. But when they went on to do commercialized music, like like The Locomotion and oh my God,
American
Dad. Like,
yeah, that. Well, the early songs are sung by Mark Farner and Tom Brewer with background, voice. When they picked up Craig Frost, that's the sound. He sings, that's the lead singer in American Band and the other Motown that they picked up. That's Craig Frost. So they're at that point, they're a four-man band, I guess.
Yeah,
if you,
they were?
If you don't,
okay.
If you don't call the singer an instrument, Led Zeppelin's power, a three-man you think about it.
Well, if you don't add Taylor and Reeves, if you don't add Taylor and Reeves, then Crosby, Stills, and Nash were a three-man band. I mean, you know, you got all these possibilities, but you can only do so much with three musicians. But then again, some have proved time and time again, like ZZ Top and Rush, those are the two predominant bands I can think of that is absolutely carried it with three members only, and that's all they ever did. I mean, Geddy Lee, for crying out loud, and Rush.
If you look at those bands, and in order to have one, a super band, three-man super band, if you look at them, the bass player and or the drummer are the usually the best musicians.
I mean, come on. Let's talk about Rush. Let's talk about Rush for a second. You're talking about one of the best drummers in the entire world, Neil Peart. One of the best guitar players in the entire world, Alex Lifeson. And you're talking about Geddy Lee. I mean, come on, Geddy Lee, for crying out loud. I saw them in concert 11 times when I was going to see concerts. Rush 11 times. And I watched Geddy Lee play the bass with his feet on a keyboard while he was singing.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, these people are incredible. You know, their talent is just amazing. And people hear the records, but they don't realize what's going on in the background and what's being done by the individuals in the band. And you take bands as a whole. And you take Rush, I think pound for pound and person for person, Rush is probably the best three-man band of all time. That's just my humble opinion. But
ZZ Top
is fantastic.
Started real fast with LaGrange, and never slowed down. Hey, Deborah, is Deborah here? Yeah. Hey, Deborah.
Yeah, I think we have a tribute piece to Dusty Hill, if Deborah's here.
Yeah, I've got to get it loaded.
Okay.
I get Deborah's attention. Yeah. It'll take a minute. But I'll go to Joseph Michael Dusty Hill. Was an American music and singer-songwriter, best known for the bassist and secondary lead vocalist of the American rock group ZZ Top. He also played keyboards with the band. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of ZZ Top in 2004.
So he was the one that played the keyboards in the song Cheap Sunglasses then, huh?
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
Billy Gibbons played the lead guitar. So if you look at it like the music man, John Paul Jones formed Led Zeppelin. He played the recorder at the beginning of Stairway to Heaven. It sounds like a flute. It's actually a recorder. He was, I think, one of the first ones to use a bow on an electric guitar.
Yeah, I remember that very well. Da-da-dun, Kashmir.
Yeah.
And then Whitesnake tried it later with Heat of the Night. But you know what Billy Gibbons was also famous for? Right? He played the daddy Bones in the TV series Bones.
Yeah.
He was her daddy.
I remember when the one guy found out. He goes, Dusty Hill's your dad? I was like,
I know, right?
Like, it's no big deal. You might want to mention that. Yeah.
I thought that was so ironic, but it was really crazy cool, you know. And that was one of my favorite TV shows, by the way.
Here's another bit. Let's see. Dusty Hill was born in Dallas, Texas. He was a brother, Rocky Hill, also a musician, Dusty and Rocky Hill, raised in Lakewood neighborhood in East Dallas, attended Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas.
Okay. So you got a Dusty Hill and you got a Rocky Hill. So I think Dad covered most
Rocky
of the
Hill.
Bases except for
parents got a great sense of humor. Parents got a great sense
of
humor.
Yeah, well, if they'd had another same son, they'd have named him Muddy Hill, right? Who knows? Anyway.
Or Cherry. Cherry.
No, that would have been the daughter's name. That would have been the daughter's name, Cherry Hill. Yeah.
Amber Hill. See, on July 28th, 2021, he died in his sleep. That was last night. Houston, Texas, age 72, as that was announced by ZZ Top band members Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard.
Well,
rest in peace, Billy. Rest in peace, Billy Gibbons.
That's exactly a week after my 67th birthday, so he didn't have a lot more years on me.
I mean, Dusty,
let's knock on wood, and maybe Wolfie will live a little longer than Dusty did. Who knows? But
Deborah, are you with us yet? I can't. I'm not in the studio.
That's okay. We'll figure it out. I'll tell you what, until we can get Deborah, let me see here. Let's go here to a team of voices and see what's going on here. Do we have anything? Okay.
You know, I'm going to take a peek. Take a peek at our... Don't think we...
No, we don't have
anybody. How many do we have to read? Do we? How many do we have pieces? Do we have to read? We are, I guess,
like maybe seven.
Okay.
And that's okay.
If you're there if you're on the AP on your site there, why don't you name me one of these SoundClouds, and I'm here in the studio, and maybe we could play one.
Okay, let me go here and see what happens here. Okay, let's find out what's happening here at the SoundCloud area. Oh, gosh, I'm getting all kinds of comments on my other site. Let's see, we'll ignore those for now. Okay, we got one by, we got a song by Budo. YouTube song.
I'm sure I can find it.
Road to Perdition by Budo, no guess. I love his music, by the way. I have to listen to that. Did you find it? You want me to put it up on the link?
Well, you know what? My scroller worked until I sat here and paused waiting for the title, and now my scroller's not working. I can't scroll down off the top of that list. So give me a minute. I might just reload the page. Deborah, are you with us yet? Probably not.
Oh, I think she's AWOL. She's way off leave. That's okay. We're good.
You're near the coast over there on the East Coast, right? How's the How's the weather coming your way?
Well, we've had a lot of very hot days. We've had some thunderstorms, pretty intense. Makes the dog nervous. It makes the cats come inside. So you can imagine with 13 cats, I got a house full of cats right now. But anyway, it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know, right? Yeah.
I found Budo, Road to Perdition and Sunrise. Which one?
Let me go see what I was looking at because I just got discombobulated here. Give me a second.
Okay.
Hold on one second. It is Road to Perdition. Road to Perdition. Did you find it?
Yep, I got it. Hold on. Let me push the button.
Okay.
We have it in front of us. Oh, shoot, it changed. Road, there it is. Bingo.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Hold on.
It's okay. I'm right here.
Yes. Okay. I reloaded the studio. Now my cursor's not working.
Cursor.
This is getting old. Yeah, it's not doing anything. I can get there.
Don't get frantic. Don't get frantic. Just take your time. Don't get frantic. It's not like we have 400 people here. Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to act somewhat professional. Just saying.
Yeah, we're good. We're good, man.
Let me reload. Well, we're back in triple digits on the West Coast. Hot, hot.
chicks. Oh, I thought I heard Deb.
Yep, you did. Oh no, that was my.
Did I?
No, that was my roommate. That was my roommate.
Oh, okay.
I heard you, Joy. Deb, are you with us?
Okay, let me see what I can do.
Okay,
here. Hold on.
I sent her a message. She might be doing it every week.
Okay, hold on.
I'm walking through the castle to the west wing, and it's a lot cooler out here. Cool.
Yeah, I got cats stuck in my desk. Hold on. Give me a second. Gosh,
sure.
I swear to God, I love my cats, but they're driving me crazy. Okay, here we go.
Okay,
here we go.
Are you in the studio now?
I can go there real quick. I'm trying to
let me see if I can do it. Yeah, I can't get it. I cannot get.
Hold on. Let me see what I can do.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Deborah Lee said the song you asked for is ready.
Okay.
I just posted Budo's song to the chat page. So, if that helps you any?
Well, the song that I sent her to load up was Rough Boys from ZZ Top in the for the Dusty Hill tribute. So whichever way you want to go, you want to play that now or?
You go ahead and since we don't have anybody on line hot, let's go ahead and play the tribute for Dusty Hill. How about that?
That sounds good. Great song, Rough Boys.
Okay.
Now that's probably going to be all the way to the bottom. You're going to have to come get it, though. I'm sorry.
I'm trying.
Okay. Deborah, we're having technical problems. You come help us out, push the button for us. Would be nice. Be nice.
She checked in 12 minutes ago. If I knew how to do it, I'd do it for you. We are just sitting here like
I know.
ducks
so
on a pond.
Sign,
that's okay.
Zodiac sign are you? What's your birthday?
I'm a Cancer, July
21st. Oh, you just had your birthday then.
Yeah, about a week, exactly a week ago today, as I said earlier, exactly a week ago today. I turned 67 years young. Actually, I'm more like 25 going on 67. But anyway, we're gonna deal with it the best way we know how. But good Lord.
Mine's the 19th, last Monday. Week ago, last Monday.
Is anybody ready to be 67? I mean, come on. You know, you tell me. I'm still thinking, God, it was not so long ago. I was like 23, and I was wandering around at Woodstock. No, that was when I was 15. Never mind. Oh, Deborah Lee says she's back. No, she says she's Johann Sebastian Bach. Okay. So anyway.
Bach. She's Bach.
Okay, Johann. Johann. She's Bach. I'm Bach.
Can you push Rush Boys? Deborah, can you push Rough Boys? The ones you just loaded, could you play it for us? Pretty please. This is a tribute to ZZ Top and Dusty Hill. Rest in peace.
I absolutely can. I will push that now. And I put I'm Bach because I was copying off my big brother. Just saying.
Okay.
Here is ZZ Top.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
I don't know who's paying attention to the chat room messaging, but Deborah Lee has just given us a very fine biography of that song and the emergence of ZZ Top on the scene and other information that was really cool to find out. For those of you who didn't know, talks about LaGrange and Sharp Dressed Man, and also shares a similar tune to their song Layla from their album El Loco. I have a boatload of albums by ZZ Top. I would probably be safe bragging that I have everyone they ever produced on a studio recording, but I'm not sure. Then again, I am pretty fanatical about collecting albums by groups that I really, really like. So I probably do have Layla from El Loco. I'm pretty sure I do. They are, you know, you get to the point in music for groups that are heavily followed and a lot of people who are less than, we'll say less than professional, start releasing albums by them that weren't really sanctioned by the group as a whole. We have a doorbell ringing. Hatter, why don't you answer the door?
You have a doorbell ringing. That's because there is a gorgeous redhead in your studio.
Oh, my God. How can I deny a gorgeous redhead access to my studio?
Sweet.
I will not. My wife is a ginger.
I also wanted to tell you that Sky said to tell you she will be here after 10 with the promised poem. Sweet, are
okay,
you there?
Very
I'm
cool.
Here. Can you hear me?
I hear
there
you.
There you are.
Oh,
uh-huh. I went to a dance just the other night. Oh, sweet pea, come on and dance with me. Okay, I'll get over that real quickly. That was what, like what? Was that Tommy Rowe? Was that Tommy Rowe?
That was Tommy
that
Rowe.
Song?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Tommy Rowe.
And the
one of
those as often as I can. It's her intro whenever I can get away with it.
one of his two hits, the other one was Dizzy, right? Dizzy, my head is spinning.
And if you go make it, it spin.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Sweet Pea has a tendency to make the men's head spin because not only is she a gorgeous redhead, but she writes such amazing poetry that poets just kind of dream in their heads when they read her words. So that's really, really cool.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Anyway.
I have never had another female poet where it set me back on my heels and I'm shaking my head going, my. Of her, how she she could be as dark as anybody. She could be as funny as anybody. And
oh my God!
Sweet potato pie.
And you're trying to be nice because what you wanted to say was she can turn a guy on more than anybody too with her writing.
Haven't
seen
her for
several
years now. She's a rock star.
Did I cross a border? I'm sorry, Sweet Pea.
She is a rock star.
No, not at all. I've done the Naughty Show, so God help us all.
I've read poems like you that made me need a cold shower, okay? I really have.
Yeah.
So, seriously, you do it all. You do it all.
The greatest thing about Tommy Rowe's song, though, it was released on January 9th, 1966. So was I.
Oh, my God. You were released on January 9th, 1966?
I was.
So were you a platinum hit?
So far, so good.
Sweet Pea.
Don't worry. Neither was Tommy Rowe.
A little known fact, she played backup at
Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up.
I certainly did.
Yep. I was at work.
I need to pull Sweet into the green room for a moment, guys. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go, lady talk. Okay. Hatter, let's pull a palm up before we get in trouble here, okay? All right, let's see what we got. Yeah, we're going to get in trouble here because we were just alluding to how, oh, my God, it's a wonderful picture right there.
Yeah, before we move on, Wolf, I always like to, when we talk about tribute or we talk about somebody that's passed or any information on the air, I like to see how they did financially through life.
Okay.
ZZ Top's net worth. The net worth of ZZ Top as a band is estimated to be over $75 million. This has been generated in their career in music. Now, if you go, how much was Dusty Hill worth? Don't fail me now. There you go. Okay, now Dusty Hill net worth is going to be, $60 million. So as an individual, $60 million. As a band, $75 million.
So he invested his money wisely. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Let's see. The drummer Frank Beard, the only member without a beard, is Frank Beard. His worth was 50.
Yeah.
So
you know,
let's go, Billy Gibbons. Let's go, Billy Gibbons. Net worth of Billy Gibbons, 60. So they split. They pretty much split down the. Spread all the proceeds down the middle. That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, well, I always had the impression that they were brothers under the skin. I really did. I mean, they played like they really grew up together and rocked together, and they had the same values. You know, I don't know what I would do with 50. I don't know what I would do with 50 or $60 million, but if I could just get my hands on maybe $2 million, you know what I'd do with it? I would buy about 100 acres of land, and I would open a sanctuary for abused and endangered wildlife and pets. That's what I would do with my money if I had a couple million dollars.
Just an example of early rockers. I'm looking at the net worth of an early rocker who was a lead singer. He's worth $360 million, making him the eighth richest rock star on the list of most richest. So who do you think that is? Eighth richest rock star of all time, lead singer, rock band.
Let me guess, Steve Perry.
Good guess. No, we're going to go to the Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger. That's Mick Jagger.
Oh, Mick Jagger. Yeah, well, you know.
Just because it was sitting here in front of me.
I got nothing against Mick Jagger. You know, he started from dirt, and he raised himself up from dirt. I don't particularly like what he and Keith Richards did to Brian Jones.
I was just stating that as a comparison from ZZ Top was more of an American band than it was an international. The Rolling Stones played an extra decade. They're an extra decade old, I would say, at least older. And one of the original British invasion groups. So that's and that timeline, that 10 years, it was worth $300 million.
Well, I've always said that the Rolling Stones won't quit until Mick Jagger has to come out on a walker. You know. They will probably keep touring as long as they can be raking in the money. But, Rolling Stones are pound for pound one of the best bands ever. They really, really are. They wrote some fantastic stuff. And kudos to Mick Jagger. Yeah. But if you knew the story of Brian Jones. Huh?
Yeah. Who did you say was the best rock band, your opinion?
pound for pound, the best rock band in the world is probably the Rolling Stones. I mean, I love the Beatles, okay, but the Beatles, yeah, don't surpass them in music sales and popularity. But then again, the Beatles were only together for, like, what, 4 years?
They were about 7 years.
Yeah, because they quit in 68, right?
70. The dissolution, they, okay, they broke up 70, and they were officially, okay, they were doing nothing but studio music for the last two. They didn't tour anymore, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1970 when they broke up, and I think that they were under a different band name in 63. They were with other bands as a group when Ringo and Best left, and Ringo, so I think it was like 63, 64, and then they came over to the States, and bam, the rest is history.
Well, they started off as what were they called when they did Skiffle? Johnny and the Moondogs? And then they became the Silver Beatles, and then when they got to Hamburg and started learning what it was like to work hard to get your salt. And they changed their names to the Beatles, and they came back from Hamburg, Germany, and all of a sudden they were an overnight sensation. But what the public doesn't realize is that overnight sensation took them, like, what, 4 years? Yeah.
Well,
in England,
Harry Nilsson and the Hollies were bigger than the Beatles,
mm-hmm,
by far.
So were
Beatles,
Jerry Marsden and the
Pacemakers,
and so were Roy Storm and the Hurricanes. Yeah, it was a very competitive business, especially in Liverpool. Liverpool was the hub of music back then. That's where they developed the Mersey sound.
They were controlled. The rock music was controlled just like it was in the States, trying to be pushed down by the establishment, the royal family, the whole bit. They were afraid of it. But once they knew that they weren't going to stop it, then they started embracing it a little more, I guess. The ones that survived, like you said, they played in Germany. They were hitting Germany big time before England ever really embraced them.
Well, I'll never forget their concert at the Royal Albert Hall when I think it was John Lennon said to the crowd on the microphone, "To you people in the cheap seats, clap your hands. For the rest of you, if you'll just rattle your jewelry." That speaks volumes, you know what I'm saying? That just speaks volumes.
Or when he was asked, why the Beatles? Why did you name it the Beatles? And he goes, well, it could have been the shoes.
Yeah, and there was a band later called the Shoes, and there was a band later called the Cars, and God knows how many other names. But, you remember the group called the Shoes?
Yeah. I don't. I remember Pink Fairy or something.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, they spelled it B-E-A-T, beat, as in a beat. The beat neck, the beat movement, the beat sound, whatever, the Beatles.
Yeah.
Simply, you know, you don't look, everybody wanted to microanalyze everything they did and said, and even their name, leave them alone. My God. Just their own demand helped. Yeah, their own demand helped break them up. It's like George Harrison, probably the most frustrated of any of the Beatles, what he said. They made the second world tour. He goes, all they want to do is listen to the same damn 10 songs, same bloody songs. We're not allowed by their own fans to progress. They had to play the I want to hold your hand, help. You know, she's got a ticket to ride. This is what they wanted to hear over and over and over. They weren't
that's the frustration of many, many groups who have huge hits, and they try to progress, and the fans are like, play so-and-so, you know. It's like It's like Joni Mitchell said at her her concert, Miles of Isles, that was recorded live on CD. And she's talking to the audience. She says, you know, She's, and people are calling out to her to play certain songs. Play this song. Play this song. She goes, yes.
Yeah.
She says, that's one difference, I think, between a painter and a musician. You know, she says, I think a painter, he paints his work. He puts it in a garret somewhere where it's never discovered, or it is popular and it's sold. And a musician, well, they play their song, and that's that. A painter finishes, and that's that. Now, I mean, nobody ever said to a musician or a painter, play a Starry Night again, man. He's talking about Van Gogh. So I thought Joni Mitchell made it.
You know, there's a good story about Bob Seger. Bob Seger became,
oh my God,
he became so anti-fan favor because all he heard was turn the page, turn the page, turn the freaking page. That's what he said. Because all I heard,
and he was like,
at the beginning,
yeah,
I'd walk
will
on
you
the
let
stage,
me?
And it became I hated that song. Then he was sort of reborn into that moment and realized it was about the fans and that he needed to embrace that, not push it away. And then he reinvented himself and came back when he did live performances. You could tell his live performances became, you know, iconic. And he started tweaking, doing it different. I turn the page, you do it different each time. But, yeah, it's easily to be burned out on a song or to be demanded, be known.
Some of his best performances live were with the Silver Bullet Band. I mean, they were incredible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the reversion when he toured. He got them back together. He came out of the studio. I mean, he made his money. You know, I can't think of anybody that might have made more money on commercials than Bob Seger.
Like a Rock, Chevrolet. Like do you remember what his first hit was?
Old-time rock and roll?
Nope. He does like, ain't good looking, Bob, but you know I ain't shy. I was born a gambling man. That song. You remember that? That was back in the 60s. That was his first hit. Back when Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels were doing Devil with a Blue Dress On. You know, that kind of stuff.
No, the good stuff is like Get Out of Denver. Get out of Denver and go. Get out of Denver.
Oh, my God.
Classic live album.
Do you know the story about, I don't know why I thought of this. It's just like certain peculiarities about massive popular bands. Do you know the story about Santana and why every time they record the song, Oye Como Va, they always sing, I'm never going back to Georgia, baby. I never go back. Hey. Do you know what that story behind?
Oye Como Va played with a medley, like a medley. There's another song they add to it. It's not San Pati.
No, it's Black Magic Woman. Black Magic Woman and Oye Como Va, but when they sing about I'm never going back to Georgia, they are talking about their experience in Georgia when state patrol officers from the Georgia State Patrol boarded their tour bus and busted the entire group on less than half an ounce of marijuana.
That was George Wallace.
So they don't tour in Georgia. They do not tour in Georgia, and they sing about it vocally and verbally for your
the southern states were no nonsense hippie hating state militia basically.
Well, still basically going on, but let's not go there. Okay. All righty.
Well, they're the ones when on a Beatles tour they were playing in Alabama and they showed up with Billy Preston to play keyboards for him, and they go, you ain't going on with that brother. He ain't going to play on that stage. And then he goes, John says he's a Beatles. He doesn't play. We don't play. They played.
Uh huh.
They tried to tell Beatles that Billy Preston couldn't go on stage with him. That's why I call it, who was the fifth Beatle? That's who I say it is. It's Billy Preston, because
Preston, and some people say George Martin. But, yeah, I think they both qualify there. But,
some say Pete.
Yeah.
Preston. I don't agree with that either.
Yeah. All right, let's do some poetry.
All right.
We've been here a little while. Let's see.
Yeah, we have.
We've been here now for an hour. Well, for 50 minutes. Let's do some poetry. Let's, Sweet Pea has been on the line and holding. Let's let her read some of her poetry, shall we?
Oh, my goodness.
We got the yakking.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We got the yakking about music. You know, Hatter and I, we go way back in the music scene, and we just love to yak. But let's get you on here. You had the courtesy and the love to call in, so we're going to get you on here. Let me see what you got going on here.
Yeah, because I want to read mine before she has to go, because it's my 10th or my 666-10 score. So I need to read it before Sweet leaves, please.
Okay, you go for that.
I have a couple, but this is my very, very short one. So it's on the board.
I see Sweet Pea. Right. Believers in Kool-Aid.
Believers in Kool-Aid. Wash your hands in the blood of the Lamb. Love the child.
What am I missing?
Quench. It's on the board. Find it on the topic board.
Yeah.
You find it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Believers in Kool-Aid. Wash your hands in the blood of the Lamb. Love the child first, quench their thirst, kiss the cheek, send them off to the promised land. Fear not the drink, feel the pain, sinners repent or die in vain. God has fallen, now bow in Jim's holy name. Shh, be still, little lambs, obey. Drink the poison in the Kool-Aid, or feel the rat-a-tat-tat of guns on parade. Amber rays of sun roasted the followers of James. Survivors roamed in shock, tears and rage. Pointed fingers sought to blame. And home.
Okay. I remember this all too well. I know exactly what you're referring to. And I have the movie that was done with Powers Booth as Jim Jones. And at the end, where he's on the microphone with his sunglasses on and he's tweaked out of his freaking mind and he's going, while people are injecting children with poison and making women drink poison and shooting men who try to run away, he's going, people, 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 this isn't that hard. Release your souls to your God. It's not that difficult. It's much easier if you just go with it. And I'm like, you know what?
It is one of the most eerie and disturbing recordings of all time.
If you show me a religious cult, I'll show you a bunch of idiots believing in a freaking charlatan fool. I'm sorry.
Hey,
That church
was right here in the Bay Area, California. He was personal friends with a lot of the politicians here in California.
Yeah, the People's Church.
When he left, it went to Guerra.
I'm telling you what. Yeah, you know, that's just struck a chord with me. That just really, oh God. You know, we had the Moonies here on the East Coast. Remember the Moonies? We had the Moonies on the East Coast. And you go, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there because I may name some groups that are still current today and they might send his squads out after me. But anyway.
Come after you.
They might as well come after me too.
I have seen so many lives destroyed by this crap and this garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And people who just wanted to embrace God, and they were misled, and they were taken down the wrong path. And what did they choose to believe in? Some poser. Some freaking self-important poser who in the scheme of things doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the world. Jim Jones. I'm sorry. He's an afternote in the embarrassment footnotes of society. Really, really well written, though. Really well written. And I just, oh, my God. You can tell by the way I'm reacting that I liked it, right?
Well, yeah. He makes your skin crawl. He's the epitome of disgusting. He is a mass murderer of great proportions. I did an entire college thesis on the process of how people are hoodwinked by murderers and mass murderers. I mean, he takes Ted Bundy and makes him look like, you know, a mild man. He is one of the worst criminals of our entire century, and I don't think people always look at the victims of his crime instead of the crime itself and really crucify and really just want to, I feel ashamed that he got out so easy by killing himself instead of being, you know, skin bleached, burned, and whatever else he could possibly have done to him.
Well, you know, a coward always takes the easy way out because they don't want to face up. They don't want to face up to what they've done. Jim Jones was one. Adolf Hitler was another. If you put it to modern philosophy and what's going on with our political system today, and I will not venture any names, sir. Keep your eye on the news.
Oh. Yeah. I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Keep your eye on the news because there's a lot of cowards in the world who are only brave when they have a microphone, when they no longer have that speaking podium. They are the worst and the weakest in the world. That's just the way that works.
Yeah, so this is written for Stephen and Kay's True Crime, where Jim Jones was the subject of their true crime show. And I just thought it was fascinating. So this is a little ditty that I came up for that.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderfully done. I have I think some people would say it's morbid, but I have a fascination with mass murderers and serial killers. And I think the reason I do is because I feel like I should study them to watch for things in the future that may come and to be guarded against that kind of activity. I think that's what it is mostly. I mean, I've been fascinated with people like Jack the Ripper my whole life. Nobody ever found out who Jack the Ripper was. But at the same time, we do know that there are people in this world like Jack the Ripper. And this is my fascination with them, is knowing that they do exist and trying to guard against it happening to the people in my immediate world. So that's maybe a little...
You should watch the documentary American Ripper.
Oh, I shall have to. And I shall recommend you a movie. I shall recommend you a movie by, it was Johnny Depp and Heather Graham. They did a movie called From Hell. Let me tell you something.
I think it's fine. It's fine for to have a fascination about that part of the society, of our society. I think it is healthy to a point, but when the media makes folk heroes out of them, like they try with Charlie Manson, and they shouldn't. That's to me is the you're adding to the evil. They should not be put on or have a minute of my time. How dare you waste my time having to hear what you think I want to hear about the sicko that whoever it is. I think that's a valid point too. It is fascinating, but we've got there's a gray area that you can't step into, making them folk hero, if that's happened too many times.
Yeah, exactly. I think Deborah has a link up. We need to let her voice be heard here.
Deborah, great picture.
Awesome. But sweet, you started this one off hard hitting right from the get-go. I was like, wash your hands in the blood of the Lamb. Love the child first. Quench their thirst. But when you got to the part, be still, little lambs, I got chills. So even in your little brevity, when you put your details and your voice together, you always rock. Hell of a brevity.
Yeah. That was very effective. That was very effective. I think that's part of what hit me so hard about her, right? Because he used the children to control the mothers and fathers. And the things he was doing with some of the children was just absolutely abhorrent. But, yeah, that was totally on point. Okay, so we have now...
always that damn good. Okay, so this is just a dark one because it needed to be when it was a 666. So it's called That You Wish You Never Toyed With My Smile. Here we go. Stare into the pink periwinkle sky, gray and a blazing sunball falls, dropping in the sea on the landscape line with the moon climbing as the owl calls. Counting the blinks as court satellites glitter, sob to the lithium starlight, whispering wishes to the opal moon glowing on the ebony and marking the night. Picture my face in two bloodshot eyes swelling and blinded from the shine and daylight. Dig deep, bleed for me, then bottle the blood puddle and copper inkwells to write a poem for me, bleeding the poetry. Scribble crimson into lines, and as wet plasma dries into scabs, crusted and scarlet brown, pick them off, hemorrhaging again and again, erasing every two-faced hook and growing them into a frown. A frown for every teardrop hazel eye spilled, weeping saltwater pools over you, then bathe in the shadowing rotations, drinking the darkness like morning dew, leaving a fingerprint trail, trace the thick scars you etched into me, reading me like pages in raised braille, mapping the path to hell that two eyes see. Follow the trickle dots on the pavement, shaking as the sidewalk shadows rise, wrapping you in black blankets of mist, vomiting as ash coats the lungs and smoke burns the eyes. Now roast in the flaming fire pits, screaming as the flesh fries, blistering, dunked like cookies as you sink and then rise. Bob like a buoy in a lava stream, with me dropping tissues down for you just to see the flaming orange trail, looping and spiraling like paper airplanes spinning in the red cinders as you wail, but do not die. So just wave goodbye and poke.
Okay. Deborah. How long have you been reading my mail, and where did you meet my ex? Oh, good God Almighty!
Oh.
This right? Oh Lord, where do I begin? Stare into the pink periwinkle sky, graying as the blazing sunball falls, dropping in the sea of the landscape aligned with the moon climbing as the owl calls. That's beautiful introduction. It's beautiful. And then you go on to shatter us with so many images and so many, let's just say, really, really glowing descriptors of what it's like to feel pain and be shot through the bowels of hell and then re-erupt in order to get your revenge on the person that did the shooting. This is... Can I borrow this? I want to send this to. I want to send this to a person in the Senate. No, never mind. I'm not going to do that. Anyway. No, seriously. I could identify with a lot of the feeling here and a lot of the angst and a lot of the. Well, just let's face it. It's just anger. It's anger and it's revenge and it's lust for blood. It's bloodlust. This is bloodlust. You know what, though? Whew. Sometimes you just got to go there in your mind. Even if you don't really do it in real life, you got to go there. You got to have that bloodlust in your mind just to sate your cravings for revenge. This is a beautiful poem. I loved every minute of it.
Who says it wasn't real life, Wolf?
Oh, my goodness, I ain't going to go there with you. I ain't going to go there with you because you know what? It's one of them Nunya things.
Yeah, it got more and more intense.
Thank you.
More and more intense. And as she went along, I expected you to be screaming by the end of this.
She was screaming.
I know, I know.
She was
know.
Screaming. Yeah, she was screaming. She was screaming out with every freaking pore of her being. That's the way I read it. I mean, it was like, holy shit, you did this to me, and guess what? I'm alive. Guess what? Guess who's not going to be alive when I'm done? Looping, then spiraling like paper airplanes, spinning in the red cinders as you will, but do not die, so just wave goodbye. You know what's worse than death? Is being tortured and being denied death. That's just like,
exactly.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. You know what?
Couldn't happen to a nice guy.
I got to repeat an old idiom that we're all very familiar with, and that is, hell hath no fury as a woman scorned.
And there's been countless times through history of people being captured and while in view of their own troops being shot by their own troops because they knew.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Wow. Did you like that, guys? Where's my sweet?
I loved it.
Oh.
Thank you, Deborah Lee. That was fabulous. Sweet Pea, what do you think about this poem by Deborah Lee?
I'm very, very impressed with this poem by Deborah Lee. Let's just say I think that I want to be watching certain people dunk like cookies and milk in blooming, blistering hot flesh fires. I love that line so much because I just see them like boom into the hot boiling oil, pop, pop, boom back into the hot boiling oil, boom, pop. It's like eternal pain, just back and forth, back and forth. I like even, and it, you know, I like shaking as the sidewalk shadows rise, wrapping in the black blankets of mist, vomiting as ash coats the lungs and smoke burns the eyes. How precious is that stanza? Just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I love it. The darkness wrapped up with a bow and a little bit of sugar and a little bit of crisp, nice, fleshy darkness. I mean, it's like you can almost peel the flesh and eat it like chips. I'm just loving everything of it.
No, that's perfectly all right. That's perfectly all right. We'll allow that little slip. Because,
and it tastes like chicken.
Yeah, well, everything tastes like chicken, right, when it's barbecued?
That's what they
so,
say.
I was, you
but
actually,
that would normally be something I read to Sweet as a bedtime story, but tomorrow's too special of a night to read something so vicious, so, you know, I wanted to make sure she got to hear it, but, She doesn't have a lot of time left, and I wanted her to push her show tomorrow before she left, if that's cool.
Who's this?
Me.
Sweet Pea.
Are you leaving?
I'm leaving in a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to have to run away.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I can stay for about another 20 minutes, so got me for a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Tomorrow night. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was reminded of an ancient torture, and I don't know how many people are familiar with this, but they used to, I can't remember if it was the Mycenaeans or maybe even the Romans, who had a bronze calf. And it was a hollowed out calf. And they would put a person inside this calf and seal the top and then roast it over a fire. And the nostrils of the calf were so made that when the person was screaming in agony, it sounded like a calf. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, that's back in the Caligula, Nero.
Oh, Caligula was a brute. Yeah, Caligula was.
Could even have gone a little earlier than that, but terrible.
Yeah, I think it was the Mycenaeans who developed that, but I could be wrong. I do study history, and I'm very fascinated with it, but I sometimes get my references mixed up.
Yeah.
But, oh, wow, that just kind of made me think about that, which is really, well, that's why it disturbed me so much, because I was thinking of somebody being absolutely, unmercifully tortured by fire. Fire, of all things. I mean, come on, what could be more painful, right? Yeah, I don't think anything's more painful than fire. But anyway, so let's see where we're at here. Sweet Pea?
Yeah?
You gave us your comments on that. I thought it was wonderful. I'm trying to get back to the group page without... There we go. Okay, so let's press on. We have about 50 minutes left. Do we have somebody here else? Oh, we got Titus Llewellyn here. Okay. Is this a, Deborah, is this a SoundCloud?
Yes, it is. I'm going to push the button for you right now. Did I not let you ask the question?
No.
I'm sorry. I knew where you were going.
Oh.
Here it comes. Are you ready?
I'll be back, too. Hold on.
Okay.
Our inner outer space. A comprehensive language to fill all fantasy. Allow me a kaleidoscope of words I regret. The rocket holds no pleasure. This vagrancy unfolds a cosmos, once and for all egret. Beholds beauty, doesn't it? The universe does exhibit each a galaxy. Within an outer space and with my telescope, it gives me this buzz to think of one light year the cutest embrace. The nebula, for instance, with its magical dust, a term derived to diffuse a harmony of stars, gravity, a tug of war with density, and it must account the moon, its craters, and many scars. Activity of meteors astound the asteroid belt. A movement I do associate with fault finding. A butterfly effect keeps in order some svelte. Best measured by the eye, not science minding. The planets remain a godforsaken place. But for our own, whose orbit has an ellipse, it will in keeping with our lifetime, seen as clear cut. We see to feel those rings around Saturn still. It brings me down to earth to think of inertia. To hold the balance in our hands, a body mass remains equal to a tide. The moods, vice versa, create a depth to which all answers will bypass.
Well, I got to tell you, Titus Llewellyn is a very impressive poet. in his own right. Everything I've read by this individual is actually stunning as far as imagery and metaphor goes. This carries a great deal of weight in all those aspects. I really enjoyed this piece. I really did. What do you think, Hatter?
He said he'd be right back, but I'd love to comment.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's an amazing poet. And with this one, between the wording, the sound of his voice, and the music that he put in the background, it's like it really sounded like he could have been doing an introduction to some sci-fi documentary or even a movie. So it was perfect. And then with stuff like Behold Beauty, doesn't it? The universe does.
Yeah.
Each a galaxy within no outer space. And with my telescope, it gives me this buzz. You can just, you know, hear the excitement of just looking through the glass and seeing all the amazing stars and planets and stuff out there. And he took what looks like a tough word bank and just spun it flawlessly, like I said, like an introduction to an adventure in space, all the way down to the end. It brings me down to Earth to think of inertia. Really, really incredible. And I know we get that broken syndrome all the time, and I say it often, but it's just because it's so true. The man can work a word bank like not too many others can. Really excellent.
Here's the thing. You said he made his words explode. And let me go one step further with that thought, because I was thinking that he was talking about space and origins and time and stars, and I was thinking that his words exploded like the Big Bang Theory. They may have spread out at random, but they all gathered together very nicely to make a perfect universe, didn't they?
They absolutely did.
Yeah. That's pretty freaking cool, man. I got to say, I had to check myself and say freaking. But anyway, yeah, really, really nice piece of poetry there. I really enjoyed that. Okay. Let's see what we got here. What we have here, failure. No, never mind. I was just farting around with old
totally
movies.
Totally wrong. Yeah.
So
I know
two
that.
Things. I was going to let Sweet comment for Titus, but before we do, guess who's here, Wolf? Sky.
Heavenly Angel. Sky Dunk Home. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness. What we have on here is a failure to communicate.
I am standing here. Sky, I am standing here beside myself. Welcome, woman. So very glad to see you. Okay, that's very nice. I like that very, very much. So, what? I know, I'm sounding like a real jerkweed, but I just thought that was fun to do. I was thinking of that movie Short Circuit when Fisher, what was his name?
I okay. love
Fisher Stevens. Fisher Stevens, yeah. Yeah, I'm standing here beside myself. Oh, Norton. Okay. I'm right here. Let's go with the next poem on the list. What we got here? We got Heavenly Angel, Homesick. We got Budo, but we came back to Budo because it's a YouTube thing. So while we've got you here live, let's do you, Heavenly Angel, okay?
Heavenly Angel's not here, hon. That's Sky.
Okay. Well, Sky, do you have something to offer? We can do everybody.
I do. Remember, I promised you I was going to try to get it in the studio, but I don't think I can. So I'll just try to do it live, and if it's terrible, I apologize, but I don't usually do it live.
but I will for you because I can't seem to get there quick enough. But remember what I promised you last time? I promised you more Stephen King.
Oh, my goodness, so, yes, you did, and you did promise me more Stephen King, and you were talking about The Green Mile?
Yes, well, this one's a little different. This one's like The Green Mile and the Shawshank Redemption all mixed in. So if I say a promise, it's my promise. And next month, if you do another hosting or whatever month you do it, remind me when you go on, and I have one more Green Mile one for you.
Listen to me, okay, Sky?
Yeah.
I have the last Wednesday of every month from 9 to 11. Okay?
All right. I'll try to keep up.
The last Wednesday of every month from 9 to 11. So put that on your calendar for ya. Let's listen to what you got, hon.
All right.
I'm looking forward.
This was because I didn't read this one for you last time. I think I read you the other one. So I read you the one which that had the children of
Deadlights.
Corn type thing.
Yes. Yes.
So this one is, you know, if you read the book and you've seen the film, Shawshank Redemption, Red does it in his voice so wonderfully. I didn't want to retell it as if I were speaking Red because I just think he did it too well. So I went with it a type of weird way. I did it as Paul Edgecombe from The Green Mile speaking about Shawshank Redemption. So
here we go.
Yeah, just don't have too high expectations yet, but and I don't usually do it live, so I will try for you. But
thank you so much. This is an honor. This is an honor. Please.
Oh no! Don't get me all crazy. All right. Goes the prisoner 8143. Justice, ain't she a pretty picture pinned on a wall, with fine lines, pearl teeth that condemn the wicked. Something like a Rita Hayworth meets Miss Liberty, except smile, whole dark shadow from window bar. Now, there are many things in which I don't know, but I do know that when you tear down that poster, there are holes in the wall, cracks built in foundation, where rats run sewer pipes and sewer drains are on tap. You've heard my story, I suppose, of the Green Mile. But soon after, there was another man, tried and convicted, with trim nails and gold wire spectacles, guilty where empty shells were left unloaded at his feet. For 27 years, he answered to this year in justice, a chess piece misshapen, buried beneath dusty books, courtyard sand, and hid limestone in salted granite, a flashlight quartz for mica, or a dark color of today. And who would have thought, when kissed enough time, that dirt can rise from freedom like a fine polished gem, like a rock hound that soars through cities of pebbles. Or in this case, a man who spit 500 yards of that tap. I wrote his poem in 1982, just 14 years before I started to write my own. Well, my guess is there are many stories waiting to be told in cell block turnkeys, like the one in the cell block 14, cell 14, block 5, prisoner 81433-SHNK, like the one in my Green Mile, tucked behind smiles, hidden in dark corners where no one wants to look, where sadness, like a sharpened diamondback razor, can cut you from ear to ear and smile while doing it. There are times I pretend old Sparky never rolled onto. And I think of John there with Andy and Red, rattling on quiet-like, age no more than a Twinkie in Armageddon. I think he might have liked it there, somewhere with no memory, with only the sound of Red's harmonica, Mr. Dufresne, clever, slight grin, a card shuffle, and soft ways on wood. I try so very hard to live in a world where men have hope, where mercy gives it back to those who've lost it, where justice ain't just a pretty poster pinned on walls. And Paul, with some mess up from there, but we'll do it live.
That was a beautiful read, and let me say this, okay? I composed a little rhyme in my head for you as a response.
Okay.
In a rustic room carved overhead, says Brooks was here, and so was Red.
Oh, I love it.
And nothing was hid in Raquel's pants. Those fuzzy ones allowed Andy Dufresne to dance.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, that was fantastic. That was fan-freaking-tastic. You know, Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile Apartment are my two favorite Stephen King movies, and they're probably the only two that really ever made me cry. I cried real tears, and I still cry every time I watch The Green Mile when I see Michael Clark Duncan saying, "It's like glass in my head, and I just want the suffering to stop. I tried to take it away, but it was too late." Oh, my God. You know, Stephen King is not just a brilliant writer. He's also quite the human being, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Hey, Sky. Sky.
Yes.
That was absolutely freaking awesome. And if you have it posted on the site, please send me the link because I'm going to pin it.
I put it up on the board, but I will send it to you.
Yeah, please send it to me because I want to pin that. That's absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was absolutely fantastic. I see we have some guests here.
I was going to say, you have A.P. Taylor on the line?
Oh, I do? Okay, let's talk to that Aussie.
Hello, Wolf.
Hello, Devon.
Hello. How are you doing, Beth?
How are you? No, I'm well.
I'm doing very, very well. I'm doing very well. How are things down under?
Sort of lockdown-ish. But, I mean, I'm out of lockdown temporarily, so that's good. I have some freedom, Wolf. I can go and do things that I thought were reasonable and sensible only some months ago, and so I'm quite excited about that.
Okay, and so are your travels taking you away from Australia a lot like they used to back in back in the day when you and I used to chit-chat?
I wish they would, Wolf, but I'm basically locked down here, so I'm having enough trouble getting to Sydney, much less my government letting me go overseas. So we have very restrictive processes at the minute. So I've only been to New Zealand twice this year. That's my total net overseas travel, and that's very unusual, as you would know.
Yeah, I do know, because you used to be like the world traveler, as I recall, and we were
I did.
You would always favor us with stories about your world travels, and we used to really enjoy that. But I can understand the lockdown. And I understand your, as a sentient human being, your willingness to respect the lockdown, so I appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Yes.
Do you have something to share with us tonight, my friend?
Well, I do. I have two things. I have a reminder to everybody, of course, that it's Sweet's show, I think tomorrow's Sweet, goodness help me. And so for everybody to write for that, I have just written one, Sweet. So don't cheat and look at it beforehand.
I won't.
Awesome. On that note, AP, would you mind holding on for just a second? Because Sweet has to leave, and I really want her to push that show before she goes. Sweet, will you push the show? I know you have to leave.
Absolutely. Tomorrow night is the anniversary of the open heart surgery and the introduction to the calf, the cow that now lives in my heart. Okay. It is a very special show because all poetry, many of those that are on it helped me through this journey, the toughest journey I think I've ever been in my life, from not knowing if I was going to die to actually being able to sit here and talk to each and every one of you. And it's been a very, very long year, and I appreciate everybody. So tomorrow night, it's all about the heart.
Yeah. Hey, Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea?
Yeah. Yes.
Nobody dies without Wolfie's permission.
Okay. Okay.
Nobody dies without Wolfie's permission. If I have to bite you and bring you back as a lichen, I will. But you will not die. You will not die on me. Okay.
It was a close call 360-some-odd days ago, but I came through, and the cow's doing good, and I'm doing good, and the cow did die, but he's doing well in my heart. He sacrificed for me. And I just want to say thank you. So tomorrow it's all about your heart's journey. So please write, contribute, or, you know, come on by and say hi.
Never let it be said, Sweet Pea, never let it be said that what spirit does not love you entirely. I do love you, honey. Okay?
Oh, I love you too. You did name me.
Thank you so much. You give meaning to everyone's life here with your poetry and your presence and your personality. You are a wonderful, wonderful human being. So, no, you don't have my permission. You're going to hang around with that, okay? All right.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank you.
So, can we, I don't think that's an unpleasant subject. I think it's a subject that needed to be addressed, and I thank you for sharing this. And, AP?
Yes.
Let's get you on board here. We have a few poems, and we have
absolutely. Well, I'm changing the flow again, Wolf, because I can't compete with Sky and the sort of, you know, dark and sort of, you know, character-based territory. So when in doubt, go completely different. And this is Tiger.
This is not competition, AP. This is not competition. This is love and brotherhood and sisterhood, okay? So go with
here
what you got.
Plenty of love here. This is Tiger, Wolf. And it goes a little bit like this. I am cuddly and furry, and my eyes are quite blue. When I run, I am blurry, a streak of black ink through. Within that time I dream, see a tiger on the prowl, a vivid striped scheme that show my regal scowl. To prancing in the grasses, eyeing off the other beasts. Then when each one passes, imagine those royal feasts. But then I look at my claws, and my smallish size may be sensible to pause, to reflect if a hunt is wise. Soon enough, I think again, I know there is an answer. With my black coat and mane, I could be a panther. End poem.
I didn't see a link, but that was very cute and clever, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. Yes, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. I even refreshed my page and couldn't find a link, but thank you for sharing that with us.
No.
So, do we still have Sky on the line? No.
I want to stick around till after AP read and give you a proper goodbye.
Okay. Let's hear
you. Before I go, if you'd like.
Sky.
Yeah,
Sky.
Let's hear.
Hey, Hatter. I thought this was very, very clever, and I love cats. I'm allergic to them, but I've had them my whole life, and as Deb can tell you, even hairless cats I'm allergic to, but I still can't stay away. But they're prancing in the grasses, eyeing off the other beasts. Then when each one is imagined, those royal feasts. I thought this was wonderfully done. And, you know, as a short person, cats tend to be very small, but very big spirited. And as a short person, I can definitely get behind that. Really well done.
Yeah, I like that too. Speaking about cats, my wife just brought home a new kitten today. She's about, just past weaning age, and she's tiny. And she appears to have some Seal Point Siamese in her. She's a beautiful little girl, and she's laying on the back of my sofa right now, just looking at me like, hey. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Now I have 13 freaking cats, okay? So, yeah, I can't turn down a cat. I can't turn down a cat. I'm the crazy cat man of the lowlands, okay?
Wolf, I have to go. I wanted to put some food, please.
Mm-hmm. What's that, hon?
Sky's going to have to go. I wanted to see if she wanted to push her show. And now I got myself.
By all means, promote your show, Sky. Go ahead, hon. Go ahead, darling.
Who around here likes Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, well, I never played it, but I heard a lot of about it. And I think I was whipped and tortured in one about 800 years ago in a previous life. But I'm not sure.
Well, I know Deb loves to do her homework, so I don't want to keep her waiting too long. And this Saturday at 8 p.m. over at Storyboard, we are doing D&D Race Volume 2. We are focusing on Dragonborn, Tieflings, and Dwarfs. I already know Sweet has got the Dragonborn on lockdown. I even sent her a few pictures. You don't have to do massive homework. You could kind of cheat and look for a picture online and then kind of just look at the attributes and write the poem based on the picture. Or you can be creative and look at the attributes and go completely different with some kind of metaphor. Whatever you want, as long as you bring the details and you learn a little bit about at least one race and bring it to the show, I'll be happy. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I don't think I've heard from Hatter. I don't think I've heard from Hatter in a while. Hatter, what are your feelings about dragons, dude?
You know, before the subject gets changed, I was supposed to do that, wasn't I? Because I know nothing of the subject either. And the last time I was on one of your shows, was I supposed to give you something? So you could give me a character or something?
We were supposed to do a special storyboard. So every once in a while, and we've got a couple of them coming up, I do a special one with, like, Disney, a twist. And I usually try to save you or Sweet Alice from Wonderland. So you still owe me a Disney twist. Oh. Yeah, you still owe me one. Holding you to it.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That's amazing. I know nothing about dragons. I don't even know if I've ever eaten... written a dragon poem. I wrote a poem about a dragon tattoo once, but I don't think that would count. But
I know the difference between a Japanese and a Chinese dragon.
Uh-oh.
One has four toes, one has four toes, and one has three.
Crazy.
Okay, one has four toes, one has three. They never change it. Okay, so
okay, good night, sweetie. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You too.
Nice guy.
I have a
Wolf,
cat.
Brandy's in the studio.
Huh?
Brandy is in your studio.
Brandy?
Brandy.
Yo. Brandy?
Yo.
Brandy? Wait a minute.
That's
Brandy?
Yeah.
What you, girl, what you doing, Brandy?
At two shows.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What?
At 4 years
Brandy.
Old, I had two strokes back to back. Yo.
You used to call my wife 2-3 times a week. What are you doing?
Had two strokes. Still kicking.
You had two strokes?
Back to back. Hours apart.
Oh. Honey. Stop doing that. Don't be stroking so hard, okay? Yeah, don't be stroking so hard. I don't. that's nasty.
That sounds like my show in a different group. But yeah, I thought I have, you know, it's just kind of messed with my memory a bit, so I had to try to catch up with everybody. And everything.
Brandy.
How's everybody doing and stuff?
Well,
I'd be asking about you when I talk to her. And you went out asked if I had your phone number. You don't exactly pick up.
Well, let me tell you something about Wolfie, okay? Wolfie don't answer his telephone. Wolfie does not answer his telephone. You know why?
Tell me why, darling.
Because nine times out of nine, it's a robocall from some freak trying to sell me auto insurance on a car I don't own. Okay, that's why Wolfie don't pick up his telephone.
Don't feel bad. I need a new phone myself.
Uh-huh. But seriously.
Be calling. But yeah,
with Brandy,
when I call, by the time I get ready to call people, I'm tired. It's the medication they got me on. It wears me out.
What they got you taking? Honey, what they got you taking, baby?
Blood thinners. And it's Eliquis.
Oh,
they
Lord.
They make me tired. And then they got me on new medication for my migraines. So I'm pretty much out of it. So this is my first time calling in this show, you know, in this group, you know, in a long time and all this stuff. So I am.
It's okay. You're still welcome here, darling. You're welcome here, baby. You're welcome. I'm happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
Did you bring us a poem to share with us tonight, or you just want to chit-chat for a little bit?
You know what? I can find a shorty. I can find a real quick short one.
Okay, shorty.
Hey, Wolf,
find me a shorty.
Where are we at on the recordings?
About 20 minutes left, and we got a boatload of stuff left over. But you know what? We still got the next show. But let's go ahead and...
The next show's not for a whole month, and you still have 6 out of the 10 left on the board.
Let's try to play these. Let's try to get these done.
Okay, let's do these. Go ahead and punch and punch.
Okay.
All right, there's Budo, so go ahead. I'm pushing it now.
Okay.
Well, the way is long and winding, it turns up on the bend. I ride blind under starlight, head straight, narrow, then straight for the end. Thank you.
ancient manuscript, yeah. So my unity. Salvation comes with fee. At least it does for me. But I bet you try to coffers. Your chains won't drop for free.
Okay, and once again, Dan has proved to us that he has a musical soul with brilliant lyrics and wonderful guitar playing. And we are left with about 15 minutes of this show, so if you want to make comments on Budos, right, do them so with your fingertips, and let's move on to the next poem by Phil the Poet. If somebody wants to load that, let's go with it.
Let me know if somebody's trying, because I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, let's see. I'm there, here. I'm here, there, everywhere.
Deborah?
Okay, click on it. There you go. Click on it. I'm all set. Here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Tea with Lemon. Tea with Lemon. And a good chat over affairs of this and that. The heat rises from the samovar, then disappears like an old czar. The Moscow traffic plays below, trying to get home before the snow. Drunks shouting at their own reflection, their voices heard in every direction. While the two ladies sit and chat over affairs of this and that, the samovar begins to boil, this old servant that's been so loyal. A pause in the conversation for a sip of tea as they caress the old Russian cups with glee, savoring the taste that warms up their hearts, both daydreaming before the conversation starts. Another cup before you go, Sveta. Hope your daughter gets better. Her friend stares and smiles at Olga. Cup raised in readiness, Sveta says, Da! Two friends sit and chat over fears of this and that, putting wrongs to rights over a cup of tea with a lemon delight. End poem.
That's beautifully read and beautifully written. Again, we have very little time left to finish this show, and we ended it with more than we anticipated. Moving on to the next one. This is my own personal entry. I call this the poignant art of musing. You ever wake up at 3 a.m. with some great lines for a poem? Do you get up, find a pen and paper, and preserve those ether-based inspirations? Or do you yawn, roll over, and tell yourself you remember them in the morning? And do you ever? Not bloody likely. These are rare and disturbing occasions, but let's wake up to the real world. This is only the opinion of yours truly, but here goes. If you want to write meaningful poetry, first, bring out all your notes and midnight jots, arranging them on your workplace by genre. If nothing erupts, then do the following. Find your physical comfort zone, that chair or that place in your autocracy. Relax completely. Completely clear your mind of all thought, resting in a single, simple place, or perhaps a song, then open slowly to possibilities. Find a landscape or a seascape in your mind, one ideal to you, then pick out a single point in that picture. After taking it all in, rest yourself there and write stream of consciousness. Thoughts become phrases. Phrases become metaphors. Words become images, not written but inferred. Take out every pastel you own from your mental coloring box. Give your poem your creation, life. Nurture it like a garden. Weed out the lifeless killers and water the brightest blossoms and bulbs. Work the soil. Rework it. Turn it over, but save the lilies. You can grow them anywhere there is rich soil. This isn't Mary, Mary, quite contrary. This is Poet, Poet, how do you grow it? You just read an extended metaphor. I hope you enjoyed it and you got the underlying messages and poem. Okay.
That was really awesome, especially
on a list.
This isn't Mary Moon, quite contrary. This is poet. How'd you grow it? I thought that was really clever, but the whole poem was awesome.
Thank you so much. Let's move along because you don't linger on me. If you want to leave comments, do it on my page. Let's give everybody the same attention. We got Poetic Picasso up here with Midnight Hour of Dread. Let's go here. Has the SoundCloud?
We
are we
Brandy
ready?
On the board. Brandy's on the board.
Okay, Brandy, we'll get you in a second, honey.
Just for you, Dale, because you like my warped sense of mind.
We'll get you, Deb. Brandy, we'll get you right after Poetic Picasso.
Yeah,
okay,
no
huh?
problem, no problem, no problem, no
okay.
problem.
Okay. Okay. Deb?
We're not listening to Brandy. All right, hold on. I got to put the other phone. There you go.
Okay.
Well, who's going to do his voice?
I think it's a SoundCloud.
Yes, it's SoundCloud.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting.
Alone in your dark room at night, within the dungeon of your dormant quietude, fearing the nightmare of my ominous presence, when reality meets the guise of dreadful alterity. Every night you dream about me in your mind, pondering the moment I creep onto your bed, as you hear my breath in my evil laughter, but I hide stealthily in the shade of darkness. Thus, I pinch your toes and scratch your arms. I slowly pull your covers and crinkle your sheets. You awake past the midnight hour of dread, within the thick pool of your dripping perspiration. You can sense me and you know that I am there, but what drives you mad is the fact that I am in control. For I control your nightmares in the scenes of their terror. What is worse, my friend, I'm never going away. You see, I enjoy the macabre delight of torturing poor souls, and I love the taste of blood and the sadistic game of horror, especially when I am the sole master of this wicked game, and you are the servant to my perverted pleasures. I enjoy the loud sound of your terrifying screams, the shaking of your body as you roll into a stiff ball, and you begin to fret and fret with the passing minute, biting your fingernails and your frightened eyes bulge. A strange figure emerges from the dark shadow. Your heart beats faster and you cannot move, for the fear has stiffened your body completely. You close your eyes to then open them to discover a liquid pool of blood is nothing more than urine.
laughter, diabolical laughter.
Dang.
Okay. Wonderful. Let's get Brandy up here to read, and if we have time, we'll get Heavenly Angel's spot in, okay?
Okay. Let's see if I can top that to my warp sense of brain. It's called Indication.
Is it up on the... Is it up on the... Never mind. Go ahead. Do it.
And it goes, implausible. On non-reminimal cerulean tramp stamp lion needs barter for coons gangbang prostitute. You, stares amatoxins cauliflower, sown atrophine veins bestrewn morphine cuticles, chapeloniums play and say checkmate. End poem.
Brandy.
Yo.
How did you ever get so dark, honey? I ain't talking about your skin neither, okay? I'm talking about your poetry. How did you ever get so dark? Because you are just...
You'll be surprised,
you're freaking...
honey.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
I got more darker stuff.
When you get over your treatment, whatever your treatment, current treatment is, you come up, see me, and win, and we'll cook you a big old southern meal and have you over for a weekend, okay?
Oh, honey, let me do the southern cooking, honey.
Okay, we'll let you do that. All right, then. Everybody, want to say something about Brandy's poem? Click on the link and write your words in. We got one more poem here by Heavenly Angel, and it's called Homesick. We need a reader. Who wants to read Homesick?
I would love
How
to
about
read
you?
Angel.
Okay, good for you. Get off my computer, cat. Get off my computer, cat. There you go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's on the board, and it's called Homesick by Heavenly Angel, and here we go. Out of nowhere, suddenly he appeared, a guy I never met before. A breath of fresh air to my stagnant existence, this man is dreamy denim. His smile and his wit captivated me. And though never in his physical presence, the element of the unnamed and untouched became between us greater than any other. Of course, I was under the spell of blending ink on parchment. And the wonderful part is that at the time, I perfectly knew I was. I inhaled his words as if they were my last breath. So sweet and endlessly perfect to enhance my own. To see a completion of our coming together made my eyes smile in hues of buttery goldenrod. Things have a way of interrupting sometimes. We lost each other in the crowd called life. Emptiness inside like an endless black hole that I keep falling deeper into. He was my home. He was familiar. My shining light in the dark night of life, the warmth to my cold, the yin to my yang, and sometimes you're homesick, not for a place, but for a person. End poem.
Okay. You know, most men would go a lifetime and never experience a woman having these feelings toward him, and maybe when a woman calls you home, when she calls you familiar, your shining light in the dark night of life, the warmth through her cold, the yin to my yang, dude, wake up, smell the coffee, embrace the woman, and just revel in the fact that you really have a winner. That's fantastic. Fantastic poetry. I love that. That is just beautiful.
I christen her our Hallmark poet.
You know, I mean, you know, I think Hallmark's a lot cornier than this. I think that she really went beyond Hallmark and anything they could ever achieve, because what they do is they get old 55-year-old housewives to write romance poetry for cards and send them to people who've heard it all their lives, and they think, oh, that's new. And, of course, nobody knows. Nobody believes it's new, but they think it's wonderful to hear, so they just think, oh, well, that's new. But, no. Now, this is a beautifully written.
As far as top shelf.
Oh, absolutely, it's top shelf. I tell you what, we're running out of time. We got about a minute left, maybe less. I want to thank everybody. Everybody who called in, everybody who submitted a poem, and everybody who helped make this thing work tonight. I appreciate you all. We had a great time. I think Hatter and I had a wonderful time talking about music. And
yeah.
I think we'll look forward to doing that again on our next show, too. We'll pick out a new artist and do some more about that. What do you think, Hatter?
Next time we'll do business first and then play towards the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. I mean, I didn't think we had that much to go on, but it expanded as the night went on. So, yeah.
Bye bye. Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. I love you all. Please feel free. Feel free to call
in
anytime.
All right. I'll see y'all soon.
Thank you, Brandy.
Well,
love you, honey.
Knowing.
All right. Y'all take
uh-huh.
care.
Love and respect, everyone. We're going to go
yes.
out with Budo's other song.
Yes.
There you go.
Y'all. All right. Bye-bye.
Again, in rays of gold champagne, peeking through the folds of yesterday. She yawns and beams a lofty rise. It comes as no surprise, gleaming charity to greet the day. She breathes a sigh for me. She seethes and cries for me to listen and to learn, to question dying thirst. It's simple when truth comes first to be set free.
First, be set free, to be set free.
She breathes a sigh for me. She sees and cries for me.
And that is the end of our show. Love and respect, everyone.
Yes,
don't forget
yes,
to tune in tomorrow at 9. Don't forget
That's
to tune in tomorrow at 9.
That's the end of our show. Good night, everybody. Love, peace.